The Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast features people from the real estate community sharing real stories about their struggles, pains, and even losses during their own real estate journey. We share these real experiences so you can learn from them and build a successful journey of your own. Now, here's your host, Cody Lewis, one of the managing partners at Vindu Capital, located in Charleston, South Carolina.
Hey everyone, thank you for joining us again today. I'm excited to have Phil Coiro here with us today. Phil, how are you doing, sir?
I'm doing so good. Thanks for having me.
Hey, man, I really appreciate it. I know with everything going on and nowadays, you know, time's always valuable. So I appreciate you making some time for us and our audience to talk a little with different things you have going on. I know you're getting your feet wet with real estate and really diving into it. And you got some really cool experiences to share with us today. But for those that maybe haven't connected with you or seen you out there on Bigger Pockets or the internet, can you give us a little bit of your background, who you are, where you're from, and how you got into real estate?
Sure thing. I'm from Long Island, New York. I was born here, raised here, and I'm a musician by trade my whole life. I studied classical music in college, then got into Broadway and theater stuff, shifted into a second career with contracting, and then now that's shifted into doing our own work with our own flips. Well, all long distance so far in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania.
Oh, cool. So for those that don't know, Phil shared with me his Instagram account of from a musician standpoint. Definitely go check it out. Incredibly talented guy. Love the percussionist. We were talking a little bit beforehand. I don't have a musician bone in my body, even though I tried in middle school. But Phil definitely does. And so I would highly recommend going and checking that out. But we're here today to talk a little bit more about real estate. You said, you know, you got into it as part of the contracting gig, and now you're starting to do your own stuff on the side with real estate. Talk to us about some of the experiences you've had there and especially some of the challenges that you've probably faced in diving into that.
Sure. I think the hardest part of real estate investing, especially with flipping and remodeling, is the contractors. That's the hardest part of real estate investing, as far as I'm concerned. And being and having the experience of being the contractor side of it, even knowing what I know about it, the challenges of, especially what I'm doing long distance, of managing those relationships, making sure that the work is up to par with what your expectations are, and all those challenges. So for us, long distance, I've been going out to Pittsburgh to GC the properties. A lot of back and forth, but usually I rent a place out in Pittsburgh. Basically in charge. I've done a lot of the work myself, but I've been hiring out all the big stuff that I can't handle myself, you know, drywall, siding, roofing, concrete work, all that stuff. I'm out there to kind of manage it, design it, and, you know, I could do the finish work and all that kind of stuff. So for us, you know, my first house, it was a couple years ago, and we lost $15,000 with a contractor. He cost us $15,000. He didn't steal it. He cost us $15,000. And that was, I blame myself for that, looking back at it now. Basically, the situation was we hired him to do three things on the property, some foundation repair work. He did that no problem. That was like a quick, easy two-day thing for him. Then to add a parking pad on the property. So we were there for 11 weeks or so. He got to that about halfway through, and I was like, okay. And then his biggest project was to repair the whole front porch. And basically between the parking pad and when we were trying to finish the house up to get it on the market, he just disappeared. And his work on the other two things was good. It was good work. So I was probably a little too patient with him. No phone calls, you know, no answering, his voicemails full. Then I would get him after hounding everybody he knew. You know, and then it was sob stories and all that stuff. So basically, I felt bad. He did good work. I let us go to market without the porch done, but I put it in the contract that it was going to be done before we closed. So we went to market, got a full ask off for the first week, and awesome. And then the porch kind of, they were first time home buyers. The porch thing was kind of freaking them out, and they pulled out of the contract.
Oh, man.
Then we're without offers for 6 to 7 weeks. Not even a ghost. I don't even know if there was a showing. Like it was completely crazy. So the porch got done. We dropped the price, $15,000, and then we got another full ask offer there and then sold the property. So $15,000 and 3 months of carrying costs because he was tugging on my heartstrings.
Right. Yeah. God, I mean, I can only imagine you're sitting there, you know, you're a ways away, not terribly far, but a ways away. You got to travel to get there. You're dealing with this. It's your first house. You understand the construction side of it, what needs to be done, timelines, that kind of stuff. But it's still tough to manage and go through that process. And once you went through that, I know it was a pain. It probably hit you, you know, in the gut having to walk away with $15,000 less. What do you take away from that experience that you then flipped or learned yourself or would educate our audience on dealing with contracts?
Well, that's a great question, because on that, you know, I've learned basically my leash with contractors, unfortunately, is very short, and which is unfortunate because I am one and I kind of get both sides of that tail. But I fire pretty quickly now, and I'm always sure that they are never ahead of me financially. So they get paid. They don't wait for money with me. They know that the guys that I've been using now for the past couple jobs. When they're done with what they're doing, they get paid immediately. If I kind of know, because I'm in that world, what their upfront expenses are before they show up to the job, but I make sure the materials drop on that job before they get anything. Because if they're a contractor without credit to get the material to order, you know, if you're talking about less than 5,000 in materials, any decent contractor like has a credit card for the business with $5,000 on it, or they have an account with the supply house. So not to hold them up, but the relationships we have with them, I just make sure all my guys know that now they're never going to be ahead of me. And fortunately, you know, I've been lucky now to have guys that I've used on these three projects that they don't really ask too much of me. They kind of know the deal. I know the deal. We're not waiting for each other anymore.
So it sounds like communication is really key when you're dealing with contractors, making sure they understand your timeline, your expectations, and everyone involved is really on the same page as far as what needs to get done. So making sure that everyone, whether it's the subs, the GC, if you're not doing it yourself, whatever it may be, keeping everyone in the loop to make sure that everyone's kind of moving the goal or moving the line forward to reach the end goal, it sounds like.
Absolutely. And I think it's imperative that everything be in writing. To such degree, anything that you guys verbally talk about, you have to write down. And that's so hard to keep track of when you're doing a full-scale renovation, because you have a lot of balls in the air at the same time. You're dealing with a lot. And a lot of times you feel comfortable with somebody, so you're like, oh yeah, we talked about that. And then guess what? You show up to the house on the last day, didn't get done, and they're scratching their head and they're like, oh, I don't remember anything, you know? So yeah, I just really be very specific about what you're looking for, what you need, and have everything in writing, have change orders in writing. I know it's a big headache to keep track of. But you get to the part, my electrician now out in Pittsburgh, I barely walk through the house with him. Like, I'm just like, yeah, just wire it up. You know what to do, you know, and then we just talk about like if there's specific, you know, hi-hat layouts or anything like that. But eventually you'll get to a rapport with people. You use them enough. But in the beginning, you got to be so diligent about being on top of them.
Well, and I think that's the other thing we hear a lot of on the podcast is relationships, 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 building those relationships and then really that trust. When you have that expanded team, especially in the contracting space around what needs to get done and being comfortable enough to not always have to be there, to not manage everything to a fine tooth comb, having those relationships and being able to do that is crucial from what it sounds like. So I appreciate that. So one thing I did want to ask, not all of us are as inclined with a hammer and nails as maybe yourself and some of the contractors you work with, myself included. Not very skilled. So for those of us that are maybe looking to get into, whether it be single family, multifamily, whatever, what kind of advice or suggestions would you give to somebody that does need to outsource the entire construction process to a GC, to a firm, to individuals, whatever it may be? What are the things that they need to look for, ask, or anything like that when it comes to construction?
Well, I think one of the easiest and free, most affordable things you could do is just educate yourself a little bit about the remodeling project. Like, you don't necessarily have to know how to install kitchen cabinets, but learning about the order of the entire process from demo to your final walkthrough, and kind of knowing what needs to happen in what order, when the inspections need to happen, knowing, you know, making sure you're on top of the city, be like, hey, I'm doing this house, we have a permit open. How much lead time do you need to schedule the inspection? Because you'll be surprised, you get to, you're ready for an inspection, you call the city and you're like, hey, I'm ready. And then they're like, okay, we'll see you in 2-3 weeks. And you're like, what? So, you know, when you kind of, you have to kind of forecast where your work is lining up, call the city early, you kind of put that deadline on yourself, be like, hey, we're ready. And then this way your work is lining up with when the inspectors are coming in. So it's kind of what I mentioned before about you have a lot of balls in the air and you're juggling a lot of things. That's a huge challenge with doing these full scale renovations. So I think learning just about the order of the process is especially important. And that could come, you know, there's tremendous resources online. You know, you could just talk to people, you know, talk to builders or whatever. The challenge with some things is when you don't know anything, you're bringing people in, asking them to walk you through the whole house. You know, it's a lot, and it's a lot to ask a contractor to do for free. So I don't know, maybe be like, hey, can I pay you a couple $100? You come down here, walk me through, explain to me what the process is here, you know, and just try to, you know, familiarize yourself. If you don't know construction, people could figure out a way that they know the map. They don't necessarily have the ability to climb all the mountains themselves, but they know the map and the path that needs to get there.
They need to know the journey that you need to get to the top. They may not need to necessarily climb the mountain themselves, in this instance, do the construction themselves, but they need to know the process, the journey that it's going to take to get there. And I love that about educating yourself. Or if you don't have that resource or even time, which I would highly encourage you before doing any of this to research that kind of stuff, but also leverage your resources. Maybe it's paying a contractor a little bit of money to upfront to come and help you and guide you with that. Maybe have a business partner or have somebody that is more skilled or understands that journey and the construction aspect to help you with that process, so you're not going in blind. I think that's...
Yeah, absolutely. And getting contractors off of Angie's List isn't going to get you through a full-scale renovation. You know, you got to talk to other investors. You got to talk to people that are doing it in that area. And I'm happy, like, when people call me, they're like, hey, I'm doing something in Pittsburgh. Do you have an electrician? I love giving my guys references because they deserve it. They deserve that extra work.
Right.
And they appreciate it, and they know that I'm out there speaking for them, and they take care of me, you know. So one hand washes the other kind of thing.
There you go. Well, and I think that goes back and speaks to the relationship you have with your construction crew and your contractors. So I think that's as good enough place as ever to wrap up, and fantastic advice, Phil. For those that maybe do want to reach out to you, whether it's finding folks in Pittsburgh that they can work with, like the contractors you deal with, or just maybe want to pick your brain about how you got started and how they can get started, where's the best place for folks to find you?
Sure. I'm on Instagram, just Phil Coiro. My company's Instagram is GoToTV, GoToTV. And I'm on Bigger Pockets, just my name, Philip Coiro, pretty much everywhere.
Perfect. Well, hey, Phil, I really appreciate the time and all the experience and lessons that you bestowed upon myself and the audience today. I appreciate it. And we'll, catch you on the next one.
Thanks for having me.
Be sure to subscribe today on your favorite podcasting platform so you can catch every episode of the Real Estate Unsuccess Stories podcast.